Are we through with our Thanksgiving guilt yet? Have we already planned out New Year's resolution for losing weight? Except we got a whole other month with Christmas and stuff, so I think we as sheep will be grazing quite well. Got one pet peeve. My daughter drugged me to something called Black Friday up in Lake Arrowhead. Now, I've been up in Arrowhead for years, but somebody said, "Is that a new shirt?" And I thought, man, I got to start buying clothes if they're noticing that I got a new shirt on. So, but I went into this store and it said, you know, 30% off. I'm really skeptical because I know they raised the price really high to drop it down to make me think I'm getting a good deal. So I leave the store feeling good and I looked it up online. It was cheaper online. Can you believe it? So I'm going to, Joe asked me to preach on this. He and I had been talking and he asked me, boy, Bob, that would be great if you could do this. You know, we're entering Christmas season. Now, Merry Christmas. Am I the first one to say that to you? So we're entering this. And David writes a wonderful psalm. Charles Spurgeon calls the 23rd Psalm the pearl of all psalms. It's the most used, the most quoted, the most recognized, the most preached psalm of all the psalms. It's always used, though, unfortunately, at funerals, during times of grief, pastors at hospital visitations for people who are not in good shape in the hospital. But it's really so much more than that. The 23rd Psalm is really about us as his flock, living a life of dependency upon the shepherd. And so if you could just stand with me, we're all going to recite the 23rd Psalm. It's only six verses. I think we can get through this together. So, are we ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, it overfloweth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pray with me. Father God, you said, wherever two or more are gathered, you'd be there in our presence. Well, Father, we invite you, we thank you that you're a God who's a shepherd who loves his sheep and goes after the lost. Jesus said he would leave the 99 and go after the one that's lost. Maybe that's you today. But Father, we're going to learn all about your shepherd's son, Jesus, the Messiah. And we're going to learn how good he is, how faithful he is, and how he loves his little lambs. But Father, I hope that when we leave here today, we're asking ourselves the question, what kind of sheep am I? Am I going to follow the shepherd, or am I following another direction away from the Lord? Father, open our eyes and our hearts to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How David would have, when we see this, the Lord is my shepherd, okay? Actually, in the Hebrew, the emphasis is on my. David would have said this, the Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that incredible? God wants us to know him personally. He's my shepherd. David's not doing it on his own. Do you know that the word he uses for the Lord is Yahweh? It's the same word when Moses at the burning bush said, "Who should I tell them you are?" He says, "I am that I am," translated in Hebrew as Yahweh. Yahweh is used 6,828 times in the Old Testament. Is that amazing? God wants to know us personally. It wants us to know him personally. 6,000 times. You know, the difficult part is 200 times in Scripture he calls us sheep. And that is not a compliment, by the way. Sheep happen to be probably the dumbest creation that God ever made. That Dr. R. Kent Hughes said, it's prima facie evidence for a great argument against evolution because sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. They're scattered. They have no defenses. They have no attacking skills. They are fearful. And without a shepherd, they would be scattered. Jesus said that in the New Testament. Without the shepherd, the sheep will scatter and they will all be lost. So, the Lord is my shepherd. So David's making a wonderful declaration. No matter what happens, Yahweh is my shepherd. Isn't that wonderful? Is he your shepherd? See, that's the question we have to ask ourselves. You know, I think we will call him our shepherd when we get what we want. But if we don't get what we want, is he still our shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, and he goes to, I shall not want. Well, let's look at this shepherd. Let's first look at John 10, 14 through 16. And it says, I, Jesus says, am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, but I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. The first time this is mentioned is Ezekiel 34. Is my time up? Oh. Ezekiel 34, where he says, "Woe, you shepherds of Israel! For you ate the curd, and you slaughtered the fattened sheep, but you did not protect them. When they were lost, you didn't go after them. And when they were sick, you didn't heal them. When they were wounded, you didn't bind their wounds." And all through that, the Lord is saying, I will become their shepherd. And I will judge those shepherds that didn't take care of my sheep. Jesus wants us to know him. But isn't it interesting? The shepherds of Israel, when he came, the Pharisees didn't know him. And that was the shepherds of Israel. Jesus said, I know my sheep. My sheep know me. So in John chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, I think we're going to get that there. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hears his voice, and he calls his sheep, get this, what does he call them? By name, and leads them out. Do you know that every shepherd personally names every sheep in their fold? Do you know that? In Jerusalem, when they have festivals, they get many shepherds with many folds, and they would put them in this huge sheepfold bend. Rocks up high, nobody can get in, right? When the shepherd comes out and calls his sheep, only his sheep will come out. The others won't because they're not familiar with the voice. And if they're struggling, he'll call them by name and they'll come. Is he calling you by name? Is he asking you to follow him? In Isaiah 49:1, get this. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention. You peoples from afar, the Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. That's for every one of you. He knew us before we were formed in the womb, and he named us. Is he calling you? You have to ask yourself. Now, so we have this good shepherd, Jesus, right? But that's not how he was introduced. See, when he came alongside where John the Baptist was baptizing, what did John say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's a sacrificial lamb. He came. And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I lay my life down. That was the purpose. He came to lay his life down. You know, David records that he killed lions and bears. Every shepherd knows how to protect the sheep. And later on, we'll get into this, why David had no fear following the Lord. So, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, if we can go to Philippians chapter 4, Paul gives us the secret to the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, God will provide all our needs. He doesn't provide all our greeds. All our needs, not all our wants either. So, in Philippians chapter 4, it says this. Paul gives us the key. Now I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever circumstance I am in to be, get this word, what is it? Content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and then hunger, abundance, and then need. Here's the key. I can do all things through him, Christ, who strengthens me. That's the key. Now, this is probably one of the most misused verses, too. You know, DJ had worked at the gym for a long time. And can you imagine a guy saying, you know, I'm gonna bench press 500 pounds because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, you know, that bar would be on my chest, and I just hope somebody would help. I can do all things in the will of God. There's a difference. I can do nothing outside. Jesus said it. I came to do the will of my Father, not my own. Should the servant be greater than the master? So, he provides all of our wants, all of our needs, rather, not all of our wants. Now, here's the great part of this. When it gets to this verse, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Do you know, there's a book, a well-known book by an author named Philip Keller. Philip Keller was a shepherd in North Africa for 10 years, had his own little farm there, and he wrote a book called A Shepherd's View of the 23rd Psalm. And he said, there are four things required for sheep to lie down because they really don't want to lie down. Isn't that amazing? Sheep are very frightened, very scared. They spook real easily. I mean, if a rabbit runs from a bush, it can just spook the whole lot of them. And so one of the things that sheep, to lie down, they can have no fear. See, if you ever watch sheep, they're constantly looking around to see where they're predators. And so if there's any problem, if they hear a crack in the bush, they're skittish, they'll run. What are the fears in your life that cause you distress? What causes you not to lay down at night? For some, it might be getting a call from an adult child that's on the streets, and you don't know if this is the call that they're alive or dead. Some of us are laid down with guilt, but the scripture says Jesus has a remedy. Confess your sins, and he is faithful and righteous to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from what? All, not some, all unrighteousness. Wow. So sheep won't lie down unless there is no predators around. The second thing is sheep will not lie down if there's a lot of friction within the sheepfold. Now, if you dealing with chickens, it's called pecking order, right? The old hen usually leads the roost. If you're cows, it's called horning order, horning order. And with sheep, it's called budding order. Older ewes, the matriarchs, they pick out the best part of the pasture for themselves. They eat the best part. If somebody, one of the other sheep come in, they're butted out of there. They set the order so every other sheep is trying to get a little piece for themselves. Isn't that amazing? And if there's any friction, they will not lie down. They will not lie down because maybe somebody will come and steal that part of their pasture. Ezekiel 34, 15 and 16 says this. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down. That's where it comes from. Declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. He's really talking about the shepherds of Israel. He uses the metaphor of the sheep here. He will seek the lost, bring them back. That's what the good shepherd does. In Ezekiel 34, 20 and 22, let's go there. Therefore the Lord God said to them, behold, I will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with side and shoulder and thrust all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. Woe, you shepherds of Israel. Woe, you blind guides. Woe, you Pharisees. That's who he's talking about. They took advantage of the sheep. So, you know what's interesting? Keller also says in his book that this behavior of budding and trying to control certain areas all disappears when the shepherd shows up. Isn't that interesting? He said when he went out in the field, they relaxed. They knew they were protected, and he's the shepherd. And all rivalries ceased. Wouldn't that be great if that's what the world would do? Oh, how often are we trying to, you know, promote ourselves? I was at a church years ago, and I was doing some counseling there. And every Monday morning, there'd be a line outside my door. And what's interesting about it is Half the time it was they wanted to know if the senior pastor was angry with them. Well, how would I know? Well, he didn't say hi to me, and he said hi to a lot of people. Really? A lot of times it would be a certain praise, not this praise team. Wasn't that wonderful music today, by the way? It was incredible. I'd have them lined up, and why does she always get the solo when I don't? I'd say, well, is that what you're doing it for? So we have to look at how we butt each other and how we want our ground. You know, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, I must decrease, he must increase. And as I said earlier, Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father. Should he ask a piercing question? Should the servant be greater than the master? God wants humility. And so this rivalry, God wants to stop. The third thing that will prevent sheep from lying down is frustrations. See, there are certain things like warble flies, bot flies, nasal flies, and other things like parasites. Well, what happens with sheep is the flies literally lay their larvae in the nostrils of the sheep. When the larva hatches, it crawls around in their nasal cavity. It becomes so frustrating. They're so annoyed that they literally can bang their head on rocks. Good shepherds know this. Later on, when it says, he anoints my head with oil, you know what good shepherds do? They take oil, put certain fragrances in, and it acts as a repellent. And he anoints the head. Oh, what's bugging you? It's more than warble flies and bots. The good shepherd takes care of his sheep. He takes care of those frustrating times. And they will hit their heads against rocks. The shepherd will apply that to them, because he loves them. The fourth thing is hunger. A sheep will not lie down if they're hungry. As a matter of fact, they will go miles, you know, to find food. And here's the deal we need to really understand. A good shepherd is probably one of the hardest workers in Israel. Because what they had to do, you know, this idea when God was telling Moses, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Have you ever been there? It's brown. It's arid. I didn't see a lot of milk and honey. Going, what's God doing? Oh, but here's the thing. That land needed to be tilled. It needed soil. It needed to be irrigated with water. The best shepherds got rid of all the rocks, all the debris, all the poisonous plants and all that, and they planted the best seed. And the shepherds who planted the best seed and had the best lands, because they cultivated it, they worked hard, had the best sheep. And because they planted the best grass, they planted plants, they planted trees, oh, guess what came? The bees. It literally, the best flocks, the shepherd said, we had so much milk, we didn't know what to do with it all. You see, God says, I'm going to take you to the land flowing with milk and honey. But we have to do our work. We got to clear our own land. We got to get rid of the rocks. We got to till the soil so God can grow something in it. And if we don't get rid of some of that sin life, nothing's going to grow, right? Right? Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure you're not sleeping. Lights are bright, so. So So the best sheep, the most fattened sheep, are the ones that have the best pastures to eat in. He leads me beside still water. Why do you need still water? Because sheep will not drink from running water. They're that skittish. They won't drink from running streams or rivers. So what the shepherds had to do is they had to cut tributaries. They had to dig big holes, cut a tributary. That would fill up, that pool would fill up, and there would be an outlet so it didn't get muddy. And the shepherds that didn't do that, and they just let them drink out of mud holes, there are parasites in that, and those sheep would get the parasites. Isn't it interesting how God takes care of us? You know, also, I'll just tell you this. There's just not one pastor. Typically, and I'll talk a little more about this later, in spring and summer, they take them up to higher ground in the valleys up there. The grass is really green, and they have to move. But when they're on the shepherd's land, and he's got pastures, do you know he has to move them occasionally? They can't stay on the same soil because the grass will get trampled down. And get this, the shepherd knows the life cycle of parasites and how long sheep can be there before parasites take into the grass. So he moves them to the next pasture. Sometimes God telling us to move because it's not good for us to be there anymore. And we got to follow the shepherd. I don't know what discontentment, or we become too comfortable sometimes. And when God says, move, move. No, I like it here. Covered with worms and warble flies. And it's better than walking, you know, 12 miles that other place. No, it's not. So they won't drink out of running water. So the good shepherd, you know, sheep are like humans. They're 70% of their body's made up of water. And if they don't get water, they will literally dehydrate and die. And so a lot of times if the bad shepherd doesn't supply good water, sheep will wander off. They will go and search for water, and they become prey for other animals. So here's what the Lord does. The Lord has given us green pastures. He calms the conflict between us if we're really in his fold. He anoints us with oil to alleviate the frustrations of life. He feeds us, and he gives us refreshing water. You know, Jesus put it this way, I'll give you living water, and you'll never be thirsty again. And then he restores my soul. Wow. So if I'm on this perfect place of my shepherd, and I've got all the food I want, and I'm content, and I've got good water, he's anointing me, I don't have parasites, flies, and fleas, what would he have to restore? Well, remember Jesus said, all of us are like sheep and we've all gone astray. So even with the best shepherd, we go astray. David's a good example. He was the great shepherd king of Israel. And then he sinned greatly with Bathsheba. And David's saying here, he restored me. You know, David asked one thing. Do whatever you want to me, Lord. But do not take your spirit from me. And the Lord says, I won't. But David, the sword will never pass from your house. That's comforting. You're always going to have conflict. You're always going to have troubles. But I will be there with you. David never left God after that. Isn't that amazing? So, one of the things that happens with sheep, you've heard the term cast sheep. A cast sheep is this. A lot of the fatter sheep, they like to get into a divot until later, if they're going to lay down. Philip Keller says every morning when he would go out early, first thing he would do is he'd look in the sky for buzzards. If there were buzzards flying around, he knew a sheep was cast. And what happens with a cast sheep is they lay down in a divot, and their weight transfers. Sometimes it goes to the back, especially if it's been raining or something, the wool holds a lot of water, right? And they literally will go on their back with their feet in the air. On a hot day, they can last for 2 to 3 hours, Keller says. If it's cold, they can last 2 to 3 days, but they're going to be eaten alive. Is that amazing? So the first thing he goes after is the cast sheep. And he says, when I find a cast sheep, I will gently help it to its feet, because if you cast too long, you've lost, sheep will lose circulation. They can't feel their legs. So he says what he did is he straddled them and held them up until, and then he massaged their legs to get circulation back. That is a picture of Jesus going after the lost sheep. He restores my soul. Well, happened to Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. You know, Jesus restored him? 3 times he asked the same question. Peter, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord. I do. Well, then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Then take care of my sheep. And the last time, Peter, do you love me? Peter was, Scripture says, upset that God was asking him. Dr. Kent Hughes puts it this way. Each time the Lord asked him that, it was a cascading down. Peter, do you love me? He started with friendship. Hey, Peter, are you my friend? Are you sure you're my friend? The last time he asked him, Hughes says in his commentary, the Greek's much more like this. Peter, do you even like me? Wow. Peter, do you even like me? Then feed my sheep. So, we know that God can restore us. And he's going to restore us in his way. In John 14, 1 through 3, this is the night that he's betrayed. It says his heart was troubled. But what did Jesus do? He cared more about the apostles. He said when the shepherd is struck down, the sheep will scatter. What happened when Jesus was struck down? The apostles scattered. But Jesus is trying to tell them something. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and also believe in me. For in my Father's house there are many rooms or mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. The night he's going to be betrayed and go through all this suffering, he cares more about his sheep than he did himself. That's our shepherd. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, when shepherds are guiding their flock, there's an old Christian song years ago. It's called Two Roads, and it went something like this. I'm not singing it, thank God. Two roads from which to choose, the road to glory or the fool's highway. You see, when they're taking them to high ground, the shepherds know the best way to go. It's the right way to go. It's the least dangerous way to go. Keller was saying that one night a lot of Bedouins got together. They put their flocks together. They had dinner, but one ewe went to the side of this ravine and went down. In the morning when they got up, they found 400 sheep at the bottom lying dead at the cost of close to $80,000. We're not even supposed to follow each other off cliffs. Oh, well, she went off the cliff. That looks like a good idea. I'm going to follow. No, we're to follow the shepherd. Keller said that he had the most beautiful ewe. She was the perfect formation, the right body, the perfect wool, and she gave birth to wonderful lambs. Beautiful, the best. But he said, my problem with her is he called her Miss Gadabout, because she would find a loophole in the fence. No matter what she had in the best pastures, she wanted to go to the other side. She wanted to get through. He said it was bad enough that I had to keep going and rescuing her. But then she started teaching her lambs to follow her. And then she taught other sheep to go through the fence. And he had to put her down, because it could have destroyed a lot of the herd. You know, Caiaphas didn't know this, the chief priest. He said, better that one man die than a whole nation. He didn't know he was prophesying. Jesus is that sacrificial sheep. Yeah, Mary did have a little lamb, and his fleece was white as snow because he was perfect. In the temple, they only sacrificed for certain sins. Perfect sheep, perfect lambs, without a blemish, they were called. That was Jesus. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this is interesting, isn't it? A lot of times to get to the valleys, you had to go through canyons and all kinds of predators. There was all kinds of things. So there was fear. But I want you to know something here. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you notice David didn't say, even though I'm camping here in the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, how many of us have spent a lifetime worrying about the valley of the shadow of death, and we stayed there. We didn't move. That became our life. Something wounded us way back, and that's what's defined us. That doesn't define us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But here David says, even though I walk through the valley, I'm walking through it. Why? Because of my own strength? No, David says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you, Lord, are with me. David said he had no fear. Wow. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Young shepherds would, when they're being kind of interned, they go and they get a sampling tree. And as that goes into the root, that's what they take. It's about so long and has a knot on the end. And they whittle this thing. And it's very, very hard wood. And that's what David used to kill lions and bears. He used the rod. But you know, isn't it interesting? David says, your rod and staff comfort me. Well, the rod kills predators. But you know, Scripture talks about the rod of correction. The Lord says, God disciplines those he loves. See, if we look at discipline as God doesn't love us, that's wrong. It says the father doesn't discipline his children, doesn't love them. You've seen where Jesus, the picture, he's walking around with the lamb around his neck, right? A lot of times what shepherds would do is they would break the leg of a lamb if it kept wandering off. And that lamb would be around that shepherd's neck. And then that shepherd would feed it, give it water. When that lamb's leg healed, it never left the shepherd's side. Oh, may our legs be broken the same way. May we not leave the shepherd's side. And many of us have had broken legs, and you know, we still keep wandering off. What's God got to do to get our attention? Right? The staff, they comfort me. Well, the staff, you've seen it. It's long. It's got the curve on the end. Literally the hook that they can pull lambs up if they're falling off a ledge. It also guides them. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Wow. And this part is wonderful. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, if you know anything about Bedouins, they're mostly sheep herders, tribe people. And if you're invited into their camp, you know what they will tell you is they're responsible for your safety. You're their guest. What David's saying here, I'm a guest of the Lord. He is providing me safe passage. He's providing me security. He is not going to let any of my enemies get me. There's no predators there. But you know the enemy? Here's the problem, guys and gals, is we don't invite the enemy to the table that God's prepared for us. Does that make sense? Here's our enemy. Immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Idolatry, anything we put before God. Enmity, strife, jealousy. Outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. Oh, are we holding on to hate and bitterness and resentments? It has no place at God's table. That we are to forgive as he has forgiven us. That's how he restores our soul. I know you've been hurt, but I'll take care of you. Don't wander off again, though. He prepares a place for us. So if you've got jealousy, bitterness, anger, resentments, it's okay. Confess that sin. We confess our sins. He's faithful and righteous to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's probably a daily prayer we need to do. We all sin. We all go astray. You anoint my head with oil. As I talked about the bot flies, the warble flies, the ugly flies that get in our nostrils. Well, what are the frustrations? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to anoint us with grace and power so these daily frustrations are no longer frustrations, that we can see a plan and we can have the hope in this, no matter what I'm going through, that I know God can use all things for good for those who love him, according to my will. No, not my will. According to his will. So I don't care what we're going through. God says, I can use that. You don't see what I'm building in your life, but if you trust me, I will use what you thought was horrible. My cup overfloweth. Well, do you know people who are just always gushing with happiness? Don't they make you sick? No. Roger's one of those guys. If you're ever around Roger, you all know Roger, right? Roger that. Ever ask Roger how he's doing? What's he say? I'm blessed. Right? That's overflowing. That is overflowing, you know? Because Roger knows something. He's not looking to receive. He knows it's better to give. He's putting treasures in heaven. So his cup overfloweth. You know, that means we're content. No, I didn't get the red Ferrari. I got a Chevy. And it gets me where I want to go. I'm not happy, though. I was up in Arrowhead, and I was in the Stater Brothers parking lot, and I come out. And my car's fairly new, and the whole right side bumper was crushed in. And they had the audacity to leave and not leave any information. Yeah. And I thought, Lord, let's get that guy. Maybe they got security cameras around here. And, but I thought, I'm glad he was the one that hit my car. And I was also glad that I wasn't the one who hit his car and left. That makes sense? God is my shepherd. He'll take care of my car. Surely goodness and kindness or mercy or love, as many renditions have, will follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because he knew what Jeremiah wrote. I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, plans for welfare, not calamity, that you would have a future and a hope. God never once had a bad thought towards any of his children. Isn't that great? He only has good intentions for you. Yes, I said earlier, he will discipline, but he never had a bad thought towards any of his children. So David knew that only goodness and love and mercy will follow him all the days of his life because God ordained it. God has ordained it in your life too. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Revelation 21, 3 and 4 says this. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes, and death shall no longer be. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. You see, Jesus is the good shepherd. He became the sacrificial lamb, but he rose. He's still the good shepherd in heaven. And we're going to learn from him up there. And we're going to follow him there. For those shepherds that are here, I want to quote something out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. I know that there are shepherds, DJ, Teresa Krabby, who else? Any elders, any pastors? Back there, hi. Yes, you know, I mean, we have an amazing welcoming crew here. You know, and I need to say this for the shepherds here. Robert back there in sound, Tim up in the booth up here you can't see, but he sees you. Isn't that nice? You're being watched wherever you go. But they just do a great job, and we need to thank the welcoming committee and all those people. Let's do that now. So First Peter says this for those shepherds that are here, for those pastors. He says, Peter says this, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Pastor Joe and all the pastors that tend his sheep will receive the unfading crown of glory. You know, each one of you have sheep under you. I don't care if you're a parent. Well, I do care if you're a parent. Your children are sheep. How are you tending to those sheep? You know, people at work. Are you shepherding them? Are you showing them the way? You know, Pastor Joe can do great sermons. All the pastors here can. But you know what? We're called to go and make disciples. How many of you have brought people from work? How many of you have brought people from your life into this sheepfold? This is what we are. I saw one hand go up. That's good. But you see, every day is a day we can live out God's glory in our life, and we can surrender to his will. So, J. Vernon McGee, how many of you know who he is? He's the oldest, Teresa does, the oldest radio show on radio through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee. Does that ring a bell now? It's kind of a cross between Walter Brennan and Jimmy Stewart. So, he was talking about, he's the guy who said, you want to get nothing done in a church, form a committee. But I think any place. So he says one Sunday, it's probably back in the 50s, this little girl who won a competition, she got to come up. She's 5 years old, white pinafore dress, and she's going to come up and recite the 23rd Psalm. And so she goes up on stage. Now, this was the church downtown. How many of you saw the church at the Open Door downtown? It had the big Jesus Save sign on it. It's been demolished. It was built in 1910. But so she goes on stage, and I think the 3,000-4,000 people in that church scared her a little, because she got up there and, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then she paused. And she looked around, and, "That's all I want." And with that, she ran off the stage. J. Vernon McGee walked up and said, "I've been bested by a five-year-old. That's the best theology you'll learn here today. The Lord's your shepherd, and that's all I want." Is that amazing? Great actor, Sir Laurence Olivier. Many of you remember him. Probably considered the greatest Shakespearean actor of all time. He's deceased. Somewhere back in the 40s or 50s, when he was at the height of his career, he was invited to this meeting, this convention, and he was on stage, and people were asking him questions, and they would ask him to, "Can you do, you know, Henry the Sixth or whatever, and he would recite it for them. One person asked him, "Would you do the 23rd Psalm?" Sir Laurence Olivier said, "Sure." And so he recited the 23rd Psalm as the great Shakespearean actor, and he got an ovation that lasted a very long time. They asked the old pastor if he would follow Olivier and recite the same song. The old pastor got up, his voice crackling from years of preaching, kind of worn down. The old pastor recited the 23rd Psalm, and when he was done, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. They asked Sir Laurence, "What was the difference between yours and his? Why that reaction?" He said, "I know the Psalm. That man knows the shepherd." Do you know the shepherd? Don't leave here today, as Roger said. You can go over there, the prayer room. But if Jesus is calling, and you hear his voice, don't hesitate. Go into his sheepfold, where he'll love, protect, feed you, guide you, discipline you. And you will live in the house of the Lord forever. Father God, thank you for today, for those who are here. They're hurting. Let them go to the shepherd where he promises to bind. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's his promise. Let us know that Mary's little lamb was the great shepherd of Israel. And then he died for us. He rose again. And he's the great shepherd. The good shepherd who loves his sheep And if you're cast down today, let him pull you up. Let him circulate the inner sides of you so you can feel again. Many of you have broken hearts. He heals the brokenhearted, the scripture says. Come to him. Father God, give us grace today as we leave and know that we're in your sheepfold. And if anyone doesn't know you, all they have to do is confess their sin. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you in my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins, and I believe you rose from the dead, and I believe you're coming back to get me so I can live forever in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.